You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Good thanks to my buddy Keith. Who, not Keith Britton, he's a bad guy. This guy, Keith's a good guy. He sent me, so everybody on the YouTube chat can see, he has a company that makes t-shirts, and they sent me some Glenville gear, defending D4 state champs right there on Cleveland's
east side. He's such a good buddy of yours, you didn't know the name of his company.
What?
He's such a good buddy of yours.
SABCU, I didn't know he started this company.
All right.
I didn't know he started this company. He's been a listener for a long time, and he's a very nice man.
All right, whatever you say.
There you go. Right, boom, right there. Go Glenville. They can see it right there in the, they can see it right there in the YouTube live chat. There you go.
Hold up your shirt.
This is my shirt.
Oh,
this is the 4X.
That's
the other one's smaller. Sailor? It's probably for Lima, but you know what? I ain't going to give it to him because he ain't here. So I'm going to just give it to my son, and X is going to wear it with pride. David Aldridge joins us right now from The Athletic on the Fan Hotline. Sorry there, David. I didn't know you were there right off the rip. You're there. Thank you very much for joining us. Of course, the Cleveland Browns are in the middle of another tough season, but it's been a tough start for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and we thank you very much for your time, my friend.
Sure, my pleasure.
First off, what's wrong? Is there something wrong, or is it just early in the season and they're working some things out?
I think there's something that they need to fix. I mean, you're a quarter of the way through the season. It's not time to push the panic button yet, but I think everybody saw the start they got off to last year, and it's hard not to compare this year to last, but I would say the start they got off to last year was a bit of an anomaly, right? Like, it's not normal for a team to rip off that many wins to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit unfair to compare it to last year, but, you know, there's been some signs of slippage, right? I mean, especially at the offensive end. I think the defense, they're fine. They seem to be about where they were last year in terms of efficiency and things like that, but the numbers offensively are not what they were last year. I think Garland being out is a big part of that, but I also think Ty Jerome not being there right anymore and Max Strus not being there to start the season, I think are big parts of that too. Because the biggest slippage is in 3-point shooting to me. Like, they were 38 plus last year, and they're 34 plus to start this season. And that in a league where 3-pointers are heavy, where a lot of teams shoot a lot of threes, that kind of a drop off matters, right? Because if you're not stopping the other team at a comparable rate, you tend to lose a lot more games. And so I think that part is where they got to figure out the best way. And it's not Merrill's been great shooting the ball from deep, but Ty Jerome was he changed games last year with his shooting. And I think that they're trying to figure out how they can change games this year without his shooting.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate you taking the time. And
sure.
I wrote over the summer, if the Cavs are going to win a championship, Evan Mobley has to get him there because Donovan, we've seen how far Donovan Mitchell can take a team, and it's the second round. So please tell the good people of Cleveland why I'm wrong, because I don't think Evan Mobley is going to, he took a massive leap last year. I'm not sure now that there's another leap in there for him to take. And it looks like Donovan is going to be the one who has to lead them. So can Donovan lead them to a title? Or is this, you know, I just look at him. He is what he is. He's had 8 years in the league. He's a phenomenal player, but little guards don't win championships very often.
It's very hard, right? I mean, you can count them on one hand, basically. Isaiah Thomas did it, but very few do it. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, they're going to need Evan Mobley to play at an elite level, at the level he played at last year. And the good news is that he played at that level last year, so he can do it again, right? It's repeatable. Once a great player reaches a certain level, they can get to that level again. So he can do it. And again, not being around them every day, I can't pretend like I've drilled down and watched every possession that Evan's had this year, right? So I'm not going to pretend to do that. But clearly they have decided organizationally that they're going to play through him, right? And so then, and I think correctly so. So it's just a matter of, when does he get back to that level that he played at for most of last season when, you know, he had a legitimate MVP argument to make? I think he will. It's just not right now. And part of that is not any, again, going back to what we talked about before, I mean, just not having two guys that were really big parts of your team last year. It takes a while. It's going to take a while for Lonzo Ball to find his equilibrium on this team, right? Like, it just does. And Okoro wasn't like a star on the team last year, but he was good in his role, right? And so now he's not there to be in his role, right? And so you know, they had a lot of roster churn, which an unusually high amount for a really good team. So that it takes a while. It just takes a while for a team to get used to new guys and new roles. And again, Garland being out and still not quite where he was, I think, before the injury last year, I think he would even acknowledge that. It's a lot to overcome. And it's not like they're, you know, 8-20. You know, they're kind of just floating above 500 right now, and it's not where they want to be. But in the East, you know, you just have to get in. I mean, there's not a single team, even Detroit, as good as Detroit's been this year, I don't think people are like quaking in their boots playing to play Detroit in the playoffs, right? You know what I mean? So just get in, and then if you're healthy at the end of the year, maybe you take a run at it.
So this is going to be a little bit long-winded, I think. I'm going to try and pare it down as much as possible. The second apron and the fact the Cavs are the only team in the second apron this year. When they made the Hunter trade last year, that made them a second apron team. And I thought, okay, you've got 2 years at this before you have to get out. And the more I talk to people, it's like, you got one shot at this. And we saw that with the teams that were second apron last year got out. Is it, do you think it's, so you get two bites at the apple and then the third bite is when all of the penalties really seep in. Is it because you don't want to take bites at that in consecutive years? You want to leave yourself a second wiggle room in that 5-year window? You see what I'm saying? Because the Cavs are going to have to make decisions after this season on their roster, or else they're going to be a second apron team again next year. And the feeling I get teams is you don't really want to fire both of your bullets 2 years in a row.
It's, you don't want to do 3 and 4, right? And so you're trying to avoid that 3 and 4, which is when you really get crushed by that second apron. So you're trying to avoid that. The best way to avoid that is not to get to year 3, right? And so I guess theoretically you say we'll take one run and then we'll adjust with most of the team, but we don't want the clock to keep ticking. We want the clock to restart. I don't know what their thinking is with regard to that. I suspect their thinking is what everybody else's thinking is, which is it's not just the second apron. You know, it's not just the financial penalties. It's the restrictions on trades and the other things that really make it difficult to be a second apron team. And so my guess is if you're looking at this as a really more of a 3-year window, right? Because they've been the last 2 years, have been a very viable, you know, contending team, you would say this is probably it, right? They're going to have to do something next summer to stop the clock, I think. And then, you know, they'll restart the clock with kind of a reformulated team. But yeah, I do think that this is going to be it. And this is the problem that they have. We saw what happened to Boston, and they would have done it anyway. I think they would have done that anyway, even if Tatum hadn't gotten hurt.
I agree.
Tatum getting hurt made it easy for them to do it, right? Because they knew they weren't going to be a contender this year. But they would have done it anyway, just because you can't operate. You know, you just can't operate as a team, which is why the thing is in place in the first place.
Is the league happy with this? Is the league getting what it wanted out of this, do you think?
I think so. I mean, because there's just more teams that are viable. Like, the East is wide open, right? It's wide open for anybody to step up and make a run at this year.
Yeah.
Like, there's just... And again, and it's not, I'm not being critical of Detroit. I'm not. They're playing really good basketball. But nobody's afraid to play Detroit in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
You're not, everybody's going to say, yeah, let's take the shot. Yeah, it's worth taking a shot this year. Nobody's afraid to play Toronto in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, you're really making, you're putting more teams in play, and you're reducing the ability of teams to roll it over year after year, other than, you know, Oklahoma City, which is being run by the Borg, apparently. Like, you know, like, they just don't stop, you know, crushing people. But it's hard to do. It's really hard to do. And yeah, I think the league wanted parity. They got it. They wanted the NFL. They got it.
David Aldridge joining us on the show from The Athletic. I mean, you mentioned the teams that might be scary to face in the playoffs. Is anybody afraid of the Cavs in the playoffs?
Honestly?
Yeah, you can be honest, because we know the answer.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I mean, afraid? No. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, respectful. Yeah, they're a really good team when they're healthy. And when they get healthy, they could easily rise to the top of the East and get through and, you know, make the finals. Yeah, they're capable of doing that for sure. They're not healthy right now. I mean, until Darius's toe gets back to normal, they're not there right now. I would say the Knicks are probably the team that's going to be the team to beat when this is all said and done, because they've been together for a year now, and their group is quite good, and Mike Brown's a good coach. Now, we'll see in the playoffs, because that's when the crucible is of how you make adjustments and what happens and how healthy you are. But, yeah, I would say New York's the team, and Orlando's starting to play like I thought Orlando was going to play. Took Bane a while to kind of figure it out, but now he seems like he's figured it out. They're pretty good. But, again, there's no fear. You respect the Knicks, you respect Orlando, but nobody's afraid to play them. You know, so Cleveland shouldn't be afraid to play them in a 7-game series. They can beat those teams in a 7-game series if they're right.
What's going to happen with Giannis?
Oh, I don't think he gets traded this year. I just don't think that it makes a lot of sense to do it under duress of a season. He's going to be professional about it. I'm in the minority on this, I know. I still believe when Giannis calms down, because I was there at that Wizards game that they lost to the Wizards. You know what I mean? Like, that should just never happen. And he was, I've never seen him like that. And that was kind of a flag, like, ooh, he's really mad. Like he's usually, even when he's frustrated, he talks. He didn't talk after that game. And he just sat by himself for a long time at his locker. And I don't want to extrapolate too much from one bad night, but he definitely is thinking about, like, where am I going? Where's my career going right now? And I think that there will probably be some hard conversations at the end of the season, because Milwaukee's just not good enough. You know, they're just not good enough. Now, Turner will play better. He's a better player than he's playing right now. But they're just not good enough right now. And I do think after the season, right, you do have to have a conversation, but I still believe that loyalty matters to Giannis, And I think he knows in his heart of hearts that Milwaukee has done everything humanly possible to put a good team around him, and they have done everything he has asked them to do, whether it's trading for Jrue Holiday or trading Jrue Holiday away so that you could, you know, get another player, or bringing in Damian Lillard, or firing a coach, or hiring a coach, or whatever it is. They've done everything he's asked them to do. And I do think that that matters somewhere in Giannis's heart. Like, he knows the truth of it, which is they've done everything I've asked them to do. And where that, I think that will matter some. Will it matter enough for him to not ask for a trade? I don't know that, but I do think it will matter.
David Aldridge from The Athletic. Find him on Twitter, at David Aldridge. David, thank you so much for the time. All the very best to you and yours.
My pleasure, guys.
Thank you, sir.
You, happy holidays to everybody.
Yes, sir. Thank you. David Aldridge on the Fan Hotline.
One of the best.
Can I ask you? Oh, he was wonderful. Thank you so much.
David's awesome.
Let me ask you a question, though. Between J.B. Bickerstaff, Pistons are doing great.
Yeah.
Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah.
90 seconds. What's been the biggest difference between the J.B. Bickerstaff Cavs and the Kenny Atkinson Cavs?
J.B. lost the locker room. Honestly.
And that was it? That's the only difference? Because it's I'm waiting for...
They did a better job. Kenny and his staff last year did a better job of unlocking Evan Mobley. And that's probably the biggest difference.
But it's almost like he locked himself back up.
Well, and I mean, Jordan Ott had a lot to do with Evan Mobley's development. And Jordan is now in Phoenix. And I mean, I'm not going to say Jordan is the sole reason why, but I think it's worth at least pointing out that Jordan had a lot to do with Evan's development last year. But Kenny and this staff were able to put Evan in positions to succeed more than JB was. But, you know, I got crushed. You can call me the Culligan man for JB because I thought JB was an excellent coach. And look, here he is. Got the number one team in the East. I guess JB's not an idiot after all.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
It's the 3 o'clock hour on Afternoon Drive.
How about your sweet Bippy Boyo? Ashley Bastock coming up in about 20 minutes. We started the show talking about Todd McShay on the Triple Option podcast, saying he doesn't think Shador is in the Browns' long-term plans. We'll get Ashley's take on that bit of sound. Whether Stefanski and Shador really will be able to coexist long-term, all that coming up in about 20 minutes. But we got a players-only meeting alert for the Cavaliers. In between this stupid period where the NBA Cup, which nobody's really going to watch, is going on, mostly because the Cavs aren't in it, the Cavs had a hell of a practice yesterday, and then afterwards, apparently Kenny Atkinson really got into him, really gave him the business, and then they had a players-only meeting. That'll fix it.
That'll take care of it. I don't know. It just reading the quotes and reading everything, it just felt very intense for, December 10th or December 9th when this was. And just, I don't know. I don't think Atkinson's losing the team or anything, but it seemed over the top.
I just want to know how many times Donovan Mitchell can tell everybody to get their head out of their ass before somebody will listen.
I mean, no, that's the thing is that, and it goes back to the same constant complaints that we always have about this team. Like, you can yell about it all day, but they're not going to become tougher. They're not going to all of a sudden, like, their mentality is their mentality. This is what you got. I almost want to sit down Atkinson and tell him, like, the you're not going to be able to mold these guys into who you think they are, who you want them to be.
Well, I think there's toughness, which is, you know, the Detroit Pistons, Isaiah Stewart trying to fight Bobby Portis. He should look up the history of Bobby Portis, by the way. I would not do that.
When your nickname's Beef Stew, you just go after it.
He's a guy that I believe prematurely ended the career of a Lithuanian center back in Chicago. I can't say his name, though, because it's impossible. It makes Zydrunas Ilgauskas look like Joe Smith. That's how long the guy's name is. Mm. I know it's Marshunas something, but I can't remember the last one. The point is, there's that toughness, and then there's just playing hard. And I think that's, like, what is different this year is we've never doubted how hard the Cavs play in the regular season. They might take a half off. They might take a quarter off. But this is the first year where they've pretty much just taken the first 25 games of the year off.
Yeah, and the disappointing part is that this is the first full offseason that we've been able to have with Atkinson. Last offseason, he was out with Team France doing the Olympics thing, and you come back, and I don't know. I guess I just the way they talked was that he was going to be very instructive. He was going to be able to be like basically best buddies with all these guys and then give them to play hard. And then you fast forward, and it just doesn't seem like any of it's really happening.
I think the benefit they were hoping for, and I actually think it's come through, is the player development stuff. Like Tyson has been a completely different player this year. He looks like a really interesting piece. I don't know if it'll be a starter, but 6th, 7th, 8th guy, I think he could be that. Craig Porter Jr. has shown some development as well. I think that's what they were talking about with the benefit of Kenny having an offseason, but I don't know. This isn't on Kenny to me. This is on those guys. And I really do think it's as simple as they've hit that first wall that you hit where you've had as much success as you can have without making an Eastern Conference Finals or an NBA Finals or winning a title. And I think that's the first fracture point you can have. And by the way, it doesn't mean they're fractured or beyond broken or anything like that. It just means like this kind of stuff has happened with Boston once a year. Once Tatum and Brown got them to a certain point, you look at the rest of the teams that have had, you know, long successful runs, everybody goes through this. What's surprising is, I think at least in the regular season, we all kind of thought, I don't want to say they were past it, but that this kind of stuff just wouldn't happen because of the culture that we have seen build over the previous 6 years.
I mean, if we're being honest, though, we probably should have seen some of this coming. And I only say that in respect to just how dominant they were last regular season. 64 wins. You had a top five scoring offense in NBA history. Like, you were awesome in many, many ways. And so then, like, what was the reward for that? What did they get? Nothing. A whole offseason of everyone telling them that they didn't live up to anything, that they didn't accomplish their goals, that they need to be better, need to do this. And it was all because of a Garland injury and a couple injuries at inopportune times. And then you lose in the second round. And so, like, I totally get it like that. And that's really the hard part that Atkinson has to try to figure out is how do you convince these guys that playing in the regular season is going to matter when they played their butt off last regular season and it ended up meaning nothing in the big picture?
I actually think so. I think there's something that you said in there that I think we should examine a little bit more.
All right, let's do it.
Because I think Darius, I think if we had really listened to what Darius said this offseason coming off the injury, which was essentially, if I don't get hurt in the Indiana series.
They win that series.
We win this, and then I think we win the NBA championship.
That's what he believes. Yeah, he spoke on that.
But I think that speaks to he and they think they've already accomplished something they haven't.
Mm.
Like, in previous years, when they've gotten bounced out in the first round or second round, every year it's been, man, that whole summer, all I thought about was the Boston series. That whole summer, all we thought about was, the Knicks series, right? There wasn't a lot of that this year. So when Darius says, oh, we would have won that easy, well, yeah, but you didn't. And so I do think, and I don't want to put it on Darius, because Darius is coming off an injury, and it's really hard.
It's like a championship hangover when you really didn't actually achieve the championship.
Yeah, but by the way, I don't put it on Darius. I put it on the rest of the guys. Like, this is where Donovan should have seen this coming. In between, hanging out on his fiance's tour bus, he kind of should have seen this mentality seeping in. And the good news is, controlling how hard you play and personal accountability with each other is the easiest fix. It just requires personal accountability. So that should be the easiest fix. I don't know about the offense. I think they've got enough playmakers that if the effort changes, that at some point the shots will start falling. But at the very least, the effort and intensity on any given night is the easiest thing to control, because I've seen them do it the three previous years.
Well, here's why I guess I don't know. I still tend to believe that it's the idea that they just worked so hard and so tirelessly to win every game and it didn't get rewarded. And so now they're like, well, why bother during the regular season? But the problem with that, and here's where they have to get this corrected, Nick, is that as of right now, you're the eighth seed. If you continue to win at this rate, you'll be lucky to even be in the postseason in anything more than a play-in game fashion to then have to scratch and claw to play one of the better teams in the East at that point. Like, the positioning of all this does matter. There's a reason why last year in the first round we didn't have to sweat about them getting knocked out, because you took on a Heat team that was lucky to even be in the playoffs to begin with. Like, these things do matter. The regular season and positioning does matter to a degree, and it does matter for this team.
So while we're talking about, the regular season, how it translates into where you're seated, Vincent Goodwill of ESPN, NBA senior, our senior NBA writer for ESPN, put out a list of five players who could impact the stretch run in the Eastern Conference. And there's a lot, like, Jason Tatum makes a lot of sense coming off the Achilles injury. He says Mikal Bridges with the Knicks. He goes to Desmond Bane, who's been pretty darn good in Orlando. And then he mentions Evan Mobley. And that in and of itself, I don't think is like a big deal. It makes sense. Evan is one of those five guys who I don't think has been what you need him to be, but has the opportunity to be better. It was the quotes that came out. And I think these are, I think if these happened 2 years ago, I probably don't get a feeling in the pit of my stomach here. But I did. So the first one, it was defensively, he might be the best player in the league. A Western Conference assistant GM told ESPN there hasn't been an elite big who didn't have a guard to get him the ball in order to be dominant. He doesn't have to be Tim Duncan. Why can't he be Pau Gasol what Pau Gasol was? Then a West GM said, yeah, he has the skill set and IQ. Can he assert himself and the team conscientiously feature him more? Consciously, that's where we're going.
There we go.
Another assistant coach said, he's a good piece, just not dominant. I'm not sure he has it. You and I have talked about this off and on, as everybody has here. I don't know what flipped the switch. And it wasn't the Warriors game. I think it's just been watching Evan these first 25 games. it's getting harder and harder not to just say, I don't think he has it. I think he's got a lot of things that are going to make him a very valuable player in the NBA for a very long time. Potentially a number two or number three on a championship level team.
Yeah.
I just, like, at this point, it's impossible for me to see. I don't have enough evidence of enough growth to say he can be the best player in a championship team.
Yeah, I mean, calling him Slim Duncan, and then even, like, the Kevin Garnett comps that he used to get back in year two, year three, like, those feel a little foolish at the current moment.
Yeah, I mean, even just, you know, when we had Fedor on last week, he kind of compared him to Alfred.
Yeah, Alfred.
Not even Robin.
Yeah.
You know, at the time, I really kind of like scoffed at that because it's like, oh, he's so young, he's so this. It's like 24 in the NBA isn't young. And there is something.
He's been in the league a lot longer than people realize.
Well, and there is something to be said. Like, there takes a specific mentality and focus that you need to have. And I hate the word confidence because that makes Evan seem like he's a scared child. I don't think it's that. I just think it's discomfort. I think, or rather, it's a lack of confidence to say, I'm the guy, I'm that guy, and everything has to go through me. And I don't think it's easy. I don't think it makes it any easier that Donovan's a guy who just naturally has that thing.
Yeah, what's interesting is the entire time he's kind of been playing off of the Giannis timeline, right? That it's the one that everyone has kind of just matched up with him because Giannis was a little bit late to the party when it came to just massive production. But then when it got going, in year 24, age 24 is the first year that Giannis won league MVP. And then age 25, he won his second league MVP. And it was like, then he was off to the races. And I think a lot of Cavs fans just kind of thought that the Giannis timeline would be Evan's timeline, and it's just not there.
Well, and I thought because a lot of people did the year three thing, right? In the NBA, typically year three is when you see that jump for players. And I thought it was a little foolish when people overreacted to him not suddenly transforming into young Giannis or young Duncan or young Pau Gasol, whatever. I think we're just at a point where we've blown past so many, and they are all artificial. But they're based off of previous precedents of NBA players, and when they hit that fast track to stardom, he's blown through so many of those that at some point you just have to throw up your hands, and it's like, well, you've got a developmental head coach. You didn't with JB Bickerstaff, right? You've got Donovan on your side. You've got guys around you saying the things. And listen, it could be different behind the scenes. The only thing they haven't done to maximize Evan is change the circumstance around him. And no matter whether that's Darius, Donovan, or Jarrett, each one of those things comes with excessive risks.
Well, I think that's why a lot of people are hesitant to really shoot off Evan Mobley takes. I think a lot of people are curious to find out what would happen if he wasn't matched up with Jarrett Allen the way that he is. And if the construct of the team did look different. And there's a part of me that wonders, how different would it look in a different setting? That's why I think for extended stretches of this year, in the fourth quarter, you notice Jarrett Allen wasn't on the court.
Yeah.
Like I think that was their way of trying to figure out, like, crunch time moments, what exactly is going to happen if it is just Evan out there and Jarrett Allen isn't the one out there as well.
There's still time, just not as much time as maybe we were hoping for going into the regular season. 216-474-0092. ESPN listed Evan Mobley as one of five places who could impact the East race the most. The question here is, are you starting to run out of patience with Evan to become the superstar that maybe we thought he was going to be by this point or at all? Ashley Bastock, Cleveland.com, talks about Stefanski and Shador together going forward or going forward apart in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Do you have a cup excitement, Andy?
Oh, man. I got to tell you, there's nothing more important than telling the kids that they need to wear a cup, the boys especially, that you better wear one when you go out there because, you know, you just having a family, I think, is important for a lot of these kids somewhere down the road. And you just never know. So you just want to make sure that you're 100% protected whenever it comes to playing sports and playing the game the right way.
Yep. Apparently, I thank you, Dan.
Why, were you not one? Did you wear one or not?
No, you reused the joke.
I know, but I mean, seriously.
Got your rib shot the first time. Now you're trying to make a scene. It's not happening.
Well, I got him to chuckle the first time. I figured I'd double down. There are people that joined us after break. They're on lunch, and they just came back in.
Did you know the final two Emirates NBA Cup quarterfinal spots are on the line tonight?
So you're trying to protect the two final spots tonight? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's why you wear a cup.
That's right. He doubled down. Oh, he gets the rim shot. I got great.
I know. I was going to give you the rim shot after rewording it because that actually was funny.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. All right.
Get all hot in a biscuit.
I'm confused about the whole NBA Cup thing.
So am I, Jeff.
And I'm confused about it for this reason.
I am looking forward to the NBA season starting on Christmas, though.
Oh, that's cold.
It's true.
Cold.
It's true.
But I look at the cup and I, Dana, what's on the line here? Nothing but, hey, you won the cup.
Get some cash, don't you?
Cash.
Yeah, okay, great. Because the NBA guys don't make enough money. The young guys are out there going. They're getting after it. They can make some money.
What they should do is call it the preseason cup because the season doesn't start until Christmas, okay. And now can we're you, getting done.
Can you let that go?
No, because the season sucks until Christmas. Let's be honest. It doesn't mean anything.
What about the hockey season? The Does it suck until care. Christmas?
Well, hockey's a different story. I mean, those guys always play hard no matter what. I think the NBA guys just kind of... Da, la, da, da, da. Oh, new Christmas uniforms. The season starts. 5 games? Oh, TNT, NBC, we're all over the place. Peacock.
TNT.
This is great.
TNT's out.
Yeah, well, when they used to be in, it was cool.
And now the NFL's on Christmas, so the NBA's out.
Yes. Oh, you're right. I forgot about that. Yeah, so much for that.
So the Cavs don't play until later on in the week, and they've had the week off. And if you play fantasy basketball and you've wondered why nobody's playing on your team, that's why. Because they're playing in the NBA Cup.
You do want to get to the Final Four, you get at least $50,000.
That's nice.
You get $500,000 if you win.
That's really nice. That is nice.
You get $212,000 if you lose.
Wish I was on that team. That'd be great.
I'd be good to
that
be
would
a
be great.
Loser in this.
I got a bigger point to this.
Tiffany Company makes the trophy. Do you know that?
Well, sure. They're in cahoots with the NBA.
No, I'm just saying.
I've seen this floated around. I've had people who I respect bring this up to me.
Mm-hmm.
CBS Sports, one of many. This is the one I just called up. Giannis Antetokounmpo, mock trades. 5 under-the-radar sleeper teams that could strike a deal. Okay?
Talk to me, Jeffrey.
Trade number 1, Giannis goes to Atlanta.
Yeah, who cares?
Well, the folks in Atlanta, but they had going back to Milwaukee, Trae Young, Risa Shea, the former number 1 overall pick, Dyson Daniels, Kristaps Porzingis, and number 1s. Like the whole team.
How many number 1s?
Multiple. 2027 first round picks, top 4 protected, 2 unprotected first rounders from Atlanta in 29 and 31.
Hmm.
I mean that's basically Atlanta's team.
Protected by the NBA Cup?
They would trade for Giannis.
Okay.
The number 2 team, Giannis to Orlando. They say Franz Wagner, Anthony Black, who's a nice young point guard, Tyus Jones, Tristan Da Silva, unprotected 2032 first rounder, first round swap in 2031. Number 3.
I learned about these unprotected trades in health class.
Giannis to Cleveland.
All right, now you're talking.
Well, I thought the season didn't start until Christmas.
Well, yeah, I want to be ready for when they start on Christmas.
It says the Cavaliers, and this is just a mock trade thrown out by a guy at CBS, Giannis to Cleveland.
Okay.
For Miles, with Miles Turner and Taurean Prince.
Okay.
Nets are involved in this.
Okay.
Nets get Max Strus, Gary Trent Jr., Cavs 2031 first-round pick, because by golly, why have them? And the Bucks also would get Evan Mobley, DeAndre Hunter, Jared Allen.
Do it?
No.
Do it?
And
Dan?
It says enough of these compromise offers. Bucks get a true premium asset. How does Evan Mobley sound? If the Bucks have another path to a 24-year-old all-NBA player, I certainly don't see it. And he also says it's probably too early in the season for Cleveland to consider this big swing. They're underwhelming. Injuries. Middle of the East. The guy says, then we've covered the mechanics of the trade. But in short, it's extremely difficult financially. Cleveland, $22 million above the second apron. They'd have to get below that second apron. I don't understand all that stuff. All I know is the Cavs have the biggest payroll in NBA history, and they're in a punitive situation when it comes to what they're able to do.
So you're not doing it. That's all I care about.
Oh, I would love to have Giannis.
I would too.
I would love to have Giannis. Dan and I were talking about this the other day.
Do I want to unveil this here?
Yep, you sure do. I said this. If they really want to move Giannis, and you could figure out how financially to do it, and you could give up Darius Garland, Jared Allen, something else, and somehow keep Evan Mobley, I'd do it. if you had to give up Evan Mobley in a deal to make that happen, boy, I'd be hard-pressed not to do it. And I like Evan, but this is the league where superstars get traded all the time. And then Dan Menigan dropped this one on me.
I wouldn't do it, but I'd counter him and say, I'll trade you Donovan Mitchell for Giannis.
Even
start
up.
Building around that.
Even up?
You'd have to do some stuff on Avery to get, you know, make all the salaries and that kind of stuff for
him. You'd probably have to throw in Jarrett.
I think if you could go Darius Garland, DeAndre Hunter, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Evan Mobley, hell, Thomas Bryant. Just pick a name out of the sky because you'll probably have to move Jared Allen to make it work. That's something.
Any way you can pull this off financially?
Wait, backtrack it for me for a second. That went right over my head, what you were saying there.
I would trade Donovan Mitchell for Giannis Antetokounmpo tomorrow.
So would I.
Okay.
And I love Donovan. He's a great player.
Donovan is outstanding. Giannis Antetokounmpo is a different animal.
And it changes your problem of the two small guys in the backcourt that I think is a problem. Maybe other people don't.
All right, that's fine. But what else are you giving up other than Donovan?
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Really?
Are you putting are you putting Evan in there too then?
No.
That's where he lost me.
You couldn't. I don't. To me, I honestly think that's too much. Giannis is such a great player. He also has kind of a chronic knee thing. But you know, the folks in
Milwaukee can be healthy for about 2 months at the end of the season.
The folks in Milwaukee have some decisions to make. They're owned by a family that's started a sports group.
Minority owned.
That's what they say. Except for one thing. The way that's being operated up there, they alternate who's in charge. Have you seen that? They're not like the minority owner. There are several people that own 25%. The Haslams are one of them. And every year, it's like they rotate who's the actual governor of the team. At least at the last thing I saw about how that's operating. And the Haslams have major say. They're not just like they were with the Steelers.
So it's like Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It's an autonomous collective.
We
vote on everything at weekly meetings.
Kind of.
Hang on, I got to call Paul DePodesta on this to see if it's working.
I'm sure.
Just watch
Andy.
Monty.
Bet Jimmy has.
Just watch Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Get to the scene where they're harvesting the mud. It'll all make sense.
Is that where they're bringing out the dead?
A little bit after.
All right. So
it's actually, I think, the scene after.
So forget Giannis here in particular, okay? Cavs need to make a move.
Feels like they're going to, doesn't it? I feel like they're going to. If they don't feel like they have every piece to get to where they need to be to win a championship, I feel like they will try to do something to get there. Don't you? That's how that organization runs.
Again, this is a league where superstars get traded constantly. Cavs are right now, Andy, they're in the play-in tournament. Now, it's only 25 games. But they're in the play-in tournament. They're not in the playoffs. They're seventh in the Eastern Conference. Detroit, New York, Boston, Orlando, Toronto, Philly. That feels like a team that might need something.
I agree. Don't you think so? They're going to need something.
I think a lineup change could be a big part of it. Again, Darius has been hurt this year, and he's not played a whole lot. And to me, that convolutes the whole thing, because I'm sure that the management of the Cavs wanted to get another really good look at Donovan and Darius together and see if they could make it work this year.
How many games?
But if you're not going to get a really good look at it, how long are you going to delay that? Sorry, you can't have too many big guys in the NBA. You also can't have too many guys who can make shots. So Darius can make shots. Donovan can make shots. But like that one trade scenario that CBS just threw out and it had Evan Mobley and Jarrett going to Milwaukee, but the Cavs not trading Donovan and Darius. How in the world is Darius going to be effective when he's trying to kick the ball to Donovan and Giannis? Come on. You're going to get Darius to get 12 assists a game and average 11 points?
No.
He's not Jalen Suggs.
No.
That's not going to work. The nice thing is we have plenty of time to talk about it. Why?
Because the season doesn't start until Christmas.
No, because the NBA Cup. Will take us for a few more days.
Hugh, I was worried.
That you still have enough time and enough people trying to bootlick out there that you can go ahead and rewrite this thing if you want to.
Yeah, and I think that's so. It's funny, that was going to be my initial reaction of just how much of the idea that Kevin could be done in Cleveland is just. Because my initial reaction ended up being bye. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Oh no, Kevin doesn't want to be here. Please don't go. Not today. Oh, it's beautiful. It's December. You'll love it in Cleveland. Keep being here. But initially it was like, wow, he just seems pissed because. Like, I don't understand why he'd be angrier now today or this week, whatever, right now, than he was coming into the season.
I'm confused. Where are you getting the anger thing from?
No, when I say anger, I mean Kevin being done with the situation.
Okay, yeah, because I don't think he's angry about it, even if he's done with the situation. I think he's just, it's time to move on.
Yeah, but what?
I think
what,
there's a resignation attached to that. It's not necessarily anger. It's just the idea that he's just hit a point here where he's not going to win, and it just is what it is.
216-474-0092. We did throw out the question of who gets credit.
Did I explain that right or no?
No, I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
I was just going to move on to the Cavs thing.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. But who gets credit if Shador becomes the long-term starter now? There was conflicting here. I don't know who had it first or who is the originator of it. I know Chris Fedor wrote something about this. I know Sam Amico had something about this as well. But basically, it is tantamount to teams around the NBA are monitoring the Cavs.
Yeah.
With specific to like Darius Garland, just seeing like what happens here and wonders if we actually might be getting closer to a Cavs reset.
Yeah. And I don't know if it would happen this year or if it happened after the season and you see the results, but this is the conversation now. And like, are you closer to the idea of what Darius said in the offseason, how he thought that if he stayed healthy, they would have won the title? Or are you closer to what it feels like some fan sentiment is that he's just too injured of a player and you're wasting your time with Darius as a core member?
I'm probably a little bit of both. And I'm in a weird spot where I think I've gone from completely like, nah, this is a big nothing burger. It's the beginning of the season, that kind of stuff, to being like, all right, a lot of the problems you have are pretty fixable. Are there bigger problems than we realize? Like when you're talking about effort and want to and playing together, like those are the most fixable problems on the planet unless they're not. Well, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But you can't fix Darius's toe, though. That's the problem that I'm having.
I don't think Darius's toe is why they're not winning. I think you've got playmakers on the court. Donovan can playmake. Lonzo Ball can playmake.
You have a lot of injuries, and that and the bench that used to be something isn't really something right now. I think Fedor had it the other day. It's the second least productive bench in the entire NBA. Like there are, it's a little bit different, but I do think the Darius toe thing. I think it's a massive deal in my mind.
I don't want to say it's not a deal because I mean it has to be. He's their point guard. The offense with him on the court when he's healthy and doing well it's a different offense, right? But like in terms of the offense is meant to exist without a pure point guard, and basically because there have been moments where you take him off the court and Donovan runs the offense and you're still scoring a butt ton of points. Like I don't think the ball moving right now, I guess maybe what I'm trying to say is I think it's a gross oversimplification to say, the offense, it's about Darius's injury. I think it's a part of it, but there's a lot of finger pointing going on. I think Donovan's incredibly frustrated while also having one of his best seasons we've ever seen from him. Like there's just something stinks in this scenario and maybe it's just a confluence of issues, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's Evan's the focal point of the offense and he's not the guy or he's not ready to be the guy. Maybe it is missing the point guard. Maybe you miss Ty Jerome more than we realize. Lonzo's not healthy enough to play every night. That like maybe it's just a lot of stuff. But man, at some point there's just a moment where you would just expect them to snap out of it. It still might be a little early for it, but the basketball's just so bad. That game on Saturday was just
That's kind of it,
you
right?
You can't ignore that
game. And then Fedor talking about it and how he goes into the locker rooms and can really digest this stuff. The fact that Fedor is talking about how it looked somber and it looked dejected and it didn't... That's a problem. That's a problem when we're this early into the season and you have players that seem as if they're just dejected and they feel like there's no answer.
Now, I do think when you hear teams around the NBA are monitoring the Cavs, I think I think the rest of the NBA has waited for Kobe Altman to blink for a couple years. And I think they, meaning like with roster construction, because I think other teams have hardlined them. It's like, no, we're not going to give you 100% value on Darius or Evan or Jared or anybody because we don't have to because you're the guy that needs to make the move. They've tried to pigeonhole the Cavs into a point of desperation, and the Cavs' response has been, well, then we're not going to trade one of our core
pieces.
Which
is the same response that the Guardians make, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not going to put themselves in a position to lose any of these trades. But I will be interested to see if they take calls, if they kind of shop around. I don't think they will. I think it'd be shocking if Kobe Altman was like, all right, now we wave the white flag. After the season, sure. Yeah, let's talk about it. But right now, it just doesn't seem like the right time.
Yeah, and I struggle to find, listen, it's already hard enough to make these moves at all. Now put a time limit on it at the trade deadline. I also am trying to find, like, okay, I don't think it's Darius. I don't think Darius is the odd man out. I think it's Jared. Like, it's always been Jared. And I think the second that they get the appropriate value offer for Jared, I don't think Jared will be here anymore. And that's not no discredit to him. It's just I think it's a little easy for Evan to fall back offensively or defensively on his ways, on not being the guy, when he has Jared to fall back on.
I agree. I think it's going to be Jared as well. The problem, though, is that you do have to at some point decide if Darius is just too injured of a player to move forward.
Yeah, I think the problem is if you make that decision, what are you going to get for him?
Well, and so that's where I think the report kind of suggests, like, the idea that you're going to have teams that are open to trades and all these other things. It's like, well, if they're open to it, then why are we just getting rid of what you think is already damaged goods?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, okay,
if it's good enough for these other teams, and clearly there's still a belief that he can do it at a high level.
So, like, New Orleans. New Orleans has been kind of linked to Darius Garland for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got Trey Murphy. They've got Herb Jones. They've got some interesting pieces. Here's a problem, though. One, there's only a certain number of deals you can make because of the salary cap. And two, Trey Murphy's a really nice player. I don't know he's worth truly Darius. When they're at their both, I think that's a problem. Is any guy you're going to get at his best is going to have 75% of the impact of Darius? And for a long time, I could fall back on, well, but if he's 75% of the impact, but he fits twice as well, there's some math that evens out there. I don't know anymore. Because now I don't know that Donovan and Evan's timelines. Like, well, I think we're in a weird position where I think because Evan hasn't really turned the corner yet, let's not bank on that anymore. You know, like, I think we have to stop acting like that's a certain thing. So all of a sudden, the pairing of Donovan and Evan is just an automatic. As long as you have those two guys, you're going to win a championship in the next 5 years. I no longer feel that way.
I know. It feels like it's just such a different vibe and a different mentality than what we were talking about very recently with this Cavs team. That's what a 14-11 start does to you when you're like the eighth seed right now. But it's just so different than what it was last year. It is. It feels night and day right now.
I mean, even and it was funny, like, people were acting like Feeder was predicting the Hindenburg disaster when he was like, it was really somber in the locker room after the he was just saying what the mood was like.
He was reporting. That's what you're supposed to do. You go in the locker rooms and you tell people what's going on.
But I do think, like, vibes are down, and maybe this is a better way to put it. I don't know if it's simple as you need a good 3-game stretch, or if you're just in a spot where, and I don't think it's that it's run its course. I think it's that you're just, it's the 7-year itch, right? Like, you've all made your sacrifices, you've all done it, and because you haven't broken through yet, there's a little bit of, we've been to this bar and we keep coming back to this bar, and we're now in our 40s, that kind of thing.
I guess. I wonder, though, if they do look at it like he's always going to deal with this toe injury right now for the rest of this season, and if they do want to capitalize on Mobley and Donovan, I would advise against it. I want Darius on this team. I don't think it's going to happen, but I do think it's interesting that and some of the teams mentioned in this, the Kings, the Raptors, the Warriors, the Timberwolves, the Nets, like, there are teams out there that would show interest and could maybe take it beyond just this season for the development or really continued development of Darius.
I just don't know. What are they going to offer? You know what I mean? And also...
Right. You got to make the money's match
also,
and everything like that.
Cavs,
it's tough.
Do we know for a fact that the Cavs view Darius as the problem?
No, I mean, I think when Darius himself says after last season, like, hey, if I don't get injured, everything goes a little bit differently, and then he is once again injured, and then he's back dealing with these injuries, I would imagine there's some people around the Cavs that are like, man, if he could just stay healthy, this would be a different equation. But how many years can you say that?
216-474-0092. Teams are around the NBA are monitoring. The Cavs, obviously, that leads us to believe there could be teams laying in wait is what I was trying to say with the Cavaliers. Is Darius the odd man out? I think it's Jared Allen. I think that's the first domino to go. John in Cleveland, welcome to the show.
Yes, make this brief. So anyways, I think our problem is I'm a season ticket holder. I go to all the games, 62 years old, old school basketball. Nobody's crashing the boards underneath. You know, these rebounds that these guys are getting, even Dean Wade, he's a big boy. Get under and get those, go get those rebounds, offensive, defensive rebounds. To win a basketball game, we got the scoring power when we go to the hole. Okay, when the three comes, that's fine also. But nobody's underneath rebounding. We need a couple bigs under there.
So I we appreciate the call. I disagree. Well, you're right that they're not rebounding and they're not doing. To me, that's effort. Like I think the Cavs have all the size you need between Evan and Jarrett and DeAndre Hunter. I think you have enough size to get what you want. I think you don't have the effort. I think the offense is more of a problem because the ball isn't moving.
They're 11th in rebounds in the NBA, and they're 8th in offensive rebounds in the NBA. The rebounding isn't the issue.
I think the effort is.
Yeah,
and I think
fair.
That's what bugs the crap out of
it. Yeah, and that's fair. I get it. I mean, like, listen, when you watch these games, there's no reason why what happened on Saturday night should ever happen with this Cavs team. But this is like, it's such a stark contrast to what we went through last year, where it felt like every game was just like, all right, we're going to win tonight. It's just by how many. And I used to have this early on in the season. They'd get down in these games, and then they'd have that third quarter. The third quarter just turned into these awesome displays of just being able to erase deficits, kind of do what they did last year with the Cavalanche. And this year, they just don't have that.
So I also think the other way to kind of look at this is every year there's either been forward progress or you just like your longest like lull has been.
Well, that was their big line, right? It was always the linear growth. That's always what they were preaching for three straight years. We watched them talk about how they were getting better and better and the linear growth was there. And you're right. It does feel like a step backwards now.
It feels like the stereotypical 7-year itch.
But does that mean did they peak last year?
That I think that's the concern.
Like, that's the scary part. You have to be scared about that. And if, like, especially if Evan's not taking the growth that was supposed to go ahead and have every part of this just launch off, like, yeah, it's very concerning.
Is Darius the odd man out? Teams around the NBA are monitoring the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll have more on that, more of your reaction, and the Peterlin pass in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.